So good evening everybody, this is Chandradasa from the Buddhist Centre online at thebuddhistcentre.com, and you can follow along with all sorts of updates from the second Triratna International Council at thebuddhistcentre.com/Triratna. So for tonight's wonderful, exciting episode of our podcast, we have a rock star, the golden voice of radio from New Zealand, Vajra Jyoti. And she just slapped me on the arm there. And we're sitting on the water tank, beside the water tank, at Parmita, which is the rather lovely airy residence that we're staying in here at Nagaloka. And today we were just talking about the fact that we saw some monkeys today for the first time. They came and peered in and sat on the thing, and we wondered where they lived at night. Anyway, that's completely off topic. You want to say hello to the world, Vajra Jyoti?
Hi, I'm Vajra Jyoti. I'm from Auckland, New Zealand. Now in Nagpur for the International Council meeting.
Yeah, and you, so you've come all this way again, another person traversing long distances to come here. And you were telling me a quite interesting story at dinner about your reasons for coming.
Partly it's I came because I'm meant to. It's part of my job as chair of the Auckland Buddhist Centre. And partly because my experience of hearing about the development of this International Council and various other changes in the movement and the order, I noticed my own sense of resistance around thinking it's just more bureaucracy, more forms to fill in, more procedures to follow. And I know that that's in my mind, and it's knowing the people in the order and the movement that it's actually not the reality, and actually need to be with the people in the order and the movement to refresh my memory of why these processes and procedures are in place. That's why I'm here, really.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think we're organised enough to be a bureaucracy, are we?
Well, I don't know. It's sort of a worry that we might get that organised, and then we'll just be filling in forms and ticking boxes and going, this is the spiritual life.
Yeah, well, long may that day be distant. Certainly nowhere near it now. It's interesting, you come somewhere like this, isn't it, and suddenly the kind of facade of a meeting. We should come up with another word other than meeting, but the meeting is actually all these kind of diverse, fantastic people from all over the place who... Well, you're kind of making it up as you go along, aren't you, to a certain extent? It's like...
Kind of, but it does involve sitting around a lot and talking a lot. So, yeah, in my book, that's a series of meetings.
Do you enjoy it? Do you find it challenging? Do you...
Mainly I've been enjoying it. Mainly I've been enjoying getting to know other people in positions of responsibility and just feeling really inspired and engaged and... by them and having fun that. Sometimes it is a bit too much, like sitting around with whiteboards and bits of paper and having to use my brain. And that's when I go out for a walk and enjoy the dogs and the puppies, and I wish I could see that monkey.
Yeah, and you went to the village today yourself?
And I walked down. Yeah, if you walk out of Nagaloka, which is this sort of campus, which feels quite enclosed in its own very busy world, you walk out on the road, there's this dusty sort of road, and if you turn left, you hit a very, very busy main road. If you turn right, you walk down this road where you met a whole lot of cows and calves and dogs, and the cows are eating the rubbish and the dogs are eating the rubbish, and there's in fact a dead calf amongst the rubbish. A lot of people on bikes and things, and the road just goes on through a village, and as far as I could tell, it just goes on and on. It's really lovely. Really lovely. And these two young women came up to us, me and Vara Devi, and said, they looked at us and said, "Why haven't you got something on your head? On your heads?"
On your heads?
Yeah, because they have their saris wrapped around their heads.
Of course.
It was really hot. Sun. And we go, "Oh, what?" And they go, "You need to wear a hat or a scarf or something. It's so hot." And we go, "Oh, yeah, sorry. We'll next time, we'll do that next time." And they say, "Oh, we're students at the school." And, they explain that they're studying here. That was... so gorgeous, so charming, these young women.
One of my favourite bits of this so far has actually been, it is a very busy campus and there's a lot of people around, but it's a lot of really young people around, and they're so bright and beautiful and energetic, and they just come and give you these smiles.
I know, they're
gorgeous.
They
just come and stand near you and smile at you, and you're just like... it's like every drop of cynicism in your body disappears instantly. It's like amazing. It's a great gift, actually.
And they want to say good morning or good evening or hi, and if you just say whatever back, they're like so pleased that they're connected.
And all really generous. One of the you may have seen on the website, we've been posting pictures of flower mandalas that people have been some of the young women in the school have been making for us. And I heard they were at it again. There's going to be a new flower mound bud to look out for on the site later. We spent the day in that same shrine room talking about ethics. Do you have any thoughts about that? It was I found it a very interesting experience to kind of watch people just really open up about the whole conundrum of ethical life and what you do about it. Without necessarily getting into the details of it, it was more just that I thought it's quite something to travel halfway across the world and sit in a room with a bunch of people and just have this open space to talk about something that isn't easy. You know, ethical life is personally always a challenge, but also collectively, like the collective life of a movement ethically.
Yeah, I really loved the process, which was five chairs in the middle and initially selected people to sit in the middle of the room. So a bit staged, and the rest of us sitting around listening and watching. And as the conversation developed, it became more open in a way.
Until
the last comment was very sort of open. Somebody expressed very open admiration for people who can talk about how they've breached their own ethical values in a very open way without justification or rationalisation.
And how inspiring that is.
Yeah, and like how inspiring
when you
see
that.
No, it was great. It was great, actually.
Yeah, moving away from a sort of punitive or fearful sense of ethics to something that's actually quite liberating if you can just face your own lapses in relation to yourself and in relation to other people.
And the sense that in our movement, if people have ethical lapses, it's a time for more friendship rather than punishment. That's when you really become their friend and help them.
That's right.
Rather than exclude them or judge them or criticise them. Really very inspiring.
Yeah. I found that really great too. So, you know, you're going to go back to New Zealand after, are you coming on to the convention?
Yeah, onto the convention and straight back to work, actually.
Straight back to work. And what are you going to take back to New Zealand from this, do you think? Having come with a certain kind of a sceptic's mind, partly, what are you taking back?
I don't really know what I'm going to be taking back. Taking back connections with other people in the order and movement, which is really valuable in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, we do feel like we're the centre of the world because we are, but on the other hand, we can feel a long way from the hub of things.
Mm-hmm.
So just the personal connections are really, really valuable to be able to bear people in mind.
Yeah.
Spread out all over the world. And I've also got to just sort of tell people in my local situations what's been going on here, and the challenge in that is to tell it in a way that doesn't sound like a whole lot of meetings, you know. To bring it alive to people who weren't even here, to bring that sense of openness and exploration, and I don't know, what I've been struck with is the courage of people who hold responsible positions and believe in themselves, you know, that they can make a difference. And which we all do to some degree, but some people do it way more than what I'm able to, and it very much inspires me to actually seeing Ambedkar's statue out there.
Yeah,
I don't know if you want to go into Dr. Ambedkar, but anyway, he's just had such a massive impact in India, and there's a statue of this ordinary looking guy, and I was just so inspired by seeing him, thinking, well, he was just a guy that knew he could make a difference and did it,
and really did it.
And
led a massive change in people's lives, had a massive effect on people.
And the statue is just like this guy about my size, you know, just who came from very difficult conditions where you'd think his self-confidence would have been completely like zero, but somehow he believed in himself that he could make a difference.
Well, I think you're probably doing yourself a slight disservice thinking you're not that capable in a certain sense. You seem very good at humanising things. I'm sure when you go back to Auckland, it'll be very easy in a way to present this as something more than just a series of meetings. And that's what we're trying to do in a way. That's why we're talking to you today, isn't it? The whole point of following this along online is to see, well, kind of, you know, some of the aspects of meetings and the processes that happen, but also human beings just like you who kind of decide they want to try and make a difference and decide to get together with other human beings and figure it out. And it's, you know, it's messy and it's sometimes complicated, but it's also quite beautiful and quite inspiring. I've every day there's been something that's really left me feeling like, I'm glad I do this. This is like,
It's like often when I think about why I became chairperson in Auckland, it's like, it sounds really naff, but it's like, oh yeah, I just want to change the world. That's all, you know, in whatever way I can. And it might be quite a small way, but actually I want to change the world.
I like your evocation of New Zealand as really the centre of the world. It's like,
of course it is.
Delusion is one of the fetters, you know.
Oh yeah, that's another confession for tonight.
Is it? Yeah.
Thank you, you're being really helpful.
That's my job, Adder Jyoti. So we'll leave you as usual with the sounds of the crickets and the night fallen. Hopefully some monkeys will suddenly appear and chatter into the microphone, but I wouldn't bank on it. This evening there's going to be a confession puja. A lot of people don't know that Buddhism has a practice of confession, very different from confession in Christianity, of course. Very much that thing that Vajrajyoti was talking about, where it's a chance to really set yourself free by acknowledging to your friends and amongst friends, you know, that sometimes you don't live up to your own values. And it can be quite a beautiful experience.
Yeah. Weird though it sounds.
It does, yeah. I remember being deeply suspicious of that when I first heard that. I was like, what?
And what? Actually, I think one of the most important things about confession is it deepens friendship. It does. It's just remarkable, actually.
Well, because you're not asking for anybody to kind of pardon you or absolve you or any of that stuff. It's just...
You're letting yourself be seen.
You're being witnessed by somebody you trust and who loves you. And it's like...
Yeah.
You know, it's a chance to cast something off.
Yes.
Very.
Right.
Very mysterious. You should see our faces here, honestly. So thanks very much to Vajrajyoti.
You've
been wonderful. She was so worried that this wasn't going to go well. And of course it's gone well.
But can anyone understand me?
Everybody can understand. Can anybody really understand anyone?
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
So thanks for listening again. We'll be back.
We'll be
back tomorrow. Yes, they do. We'll be back tomorrow for a special edition with Loka Mitra. A very senior order member here in India, who's going to be talking about his life and work for the Dhamma. So it's good night from me, and it's good night from Vajrajyoti.